Good afternoon, everyone. It's beautiful to feel the stillness in the hall. And warm greetings to our friends online. Really love scrolling through the tiles, seeing all of you. I just want to start with one brief announcement, which is that around 6 o'clock today, we will have the sign-up sheets posted for interviews tomorrow. There's room for a good chunk of you who are here in person to see us. But please, until around 8 p.m., please only sign up for an interview with a teacher you have not yet seen. And after 8 o'clock, if there are spaces available for a teacher you have seen and you want to sign up for that person, you can do that. And please do sign up only for one slot total. So they're up at 6 and hold off on duplicate teacher seeings until 8. Okay. When I was a little kid, I loved to read from a very early age. And some of my earliest memories, happy memories, are reading on road trips. My parents traveled everywhere in our station wagon, I think because we didn't have enough money to fly anywhere. And I would be just contentedly curled up in the back seat, seatbelt sort of around me, reading some book or another. And I would get so absorbed in the book that we would get to a destination, a rest stop or a hotel for the night or a campground, and I would just keep reading, and my family would get out of the car and close the doors and like go off for a little while, come back and check on me. Are you done yet? I was so absorbed that I didn't even notice the car stopping, the music stopping, the doors closing, and would have to be kind of roused out of it. Very content reader. And it wasn't until years later I realized that this phenomenon of sort of hours disappearing and everything else going away was a lot like the quality of samadhi, of flow, of absorption, which is the topic today. So I'm going to offer a number of different words that are used to translate samadhi. And the invitation is to feel into them in your body, feel what they feel like, because each one might evoke a different dimension of the meaning. Steady. Steadiness. Collected. Composed. Coherent. Settled. Concentration. Immersed, immersion, holistic stability, unification, so samadhi is a range. It's a mental factor or set of factors It's also a wide range of experiences, states. Unification points to the kind of wholeness, single-pointed samadhi that is possible. Complete absorption in the meditative process. And there is also a more open, fluid kind of samadhi, in which awareness is stable, but everything flows through it, arises and passes away. Both are beautiful, and both point towards an integrated kind of wholeness of the mind, heart, body, of attention and what is attended to. And before I move on in this talk and talk more about the sort of different constituents that support samadhi and maybe different ways it shows up, just want to start by saying that there's a certain kind of attitude I've found particularly helpful in myself and other practitioners in approaching this topic, in approaching the possibility of samadhi. And that's an attitude of respect, receptivity, even reverence. And I say that's helpful because a lot of times people hear the word concentration and they think huff, puff, bear down, squint hard. That's not so helpful. I used to be very concentrated as a computer worker, creative type, and left my body out, and I got a repetitive strain injury for my troubles. This kind of samadhi is much more integrating of the whole body, the whole mind, the mind and the body intersuffusing one another in a beautiful way. And in the context of this attitude of respect, receptivity, reverence is kind of the opposite of leaning forward and squinting and bearing down, right? There's an attitude, again, as a young person, I rode horses. I have this memory of being in a field pasture, and there are these not yet broken horses, not yet broken, not yet trained for riders. And I walked out there and I just stood. I was coached to do this. And my attitude was respectful and I loved horses. So it was just sort of naturally reverent, receptive. And it was almost like magic. They came to me. They walked up to me and even like nuzzled me and put their heads on me. Because there was this trust, a trust between us, that nobody was going to make anybody do anything anybody didn't want to do. That we could be together. The Buddha likens a mind well-trained in samadhi to being like a well-trained horse, a gentled horse, responsive to the rider. And when I was learning to ride, you know, it would sometimes be pretty bouncy, a little bit rough at first. And there would be a lot of effort in trying to synchronize with the animal, with what was happening. And then, as we would get accustomed to each other's rhythm, there would be this unification, this unity of rhythm, moving as a whole, a flow. It's quite beautiful. The Buddha talks in one place about the samadhi itself being like one horse among a team of horses. The others are the other seven factors. Mindfulness, mindful awareness. That clarity of receptive interest. Wholeheartedness. Energy, joy, tranquility, and equanimity, all a team kind of working together. And then the simile pivots to where the mindfulness is the charioteer, balancing the team of horses, balancing all of these factors, so that the meditation just progresses. Takes off. So as the simile suggests, sati, awareness, mindfulness, is the factor that can balance all the others. So for the first few days, we talked about mindfulness and then investigation or interest, energy, joy. And Gil gave his talk on joy and tranquility, and that's the pivot point between the energizing factors of the seven factors of awakening and the calming factors, prasadi, tranquility, samadhi, the collectedness, and then equanimity. There are times that these all work together. There are times that they're naturally emergent. One flows into another naturally. And as we've talked about, there are times that they appear simply throughout your day. Almost any activity. So they're naturally emergent. And as we've been talking about this week, they can be cultivated, appreciated. And people's experience of each might vary widely, and this is also true of samadhi. The experience of samadhi can vary widely among people. And among the arc of a person's practice, or day, or week, or decade. It's all based on the causes and conditions. Some people have a natural inclination to this factor. It's like some people are attracted to, or really good with numbers and mathematics, and other people are really good with language or art. Just like that, some people are more attracted to or better at discernment, mindfulness, clarity. Other people are more drawn to the serenity of deepening samadhi. There's not one right or wrong way. It's almost like being left-handed or right-handed. It can just be. Regardless of what your inclination is, there are contributing factors that help to cultivate the conditions for samadhi, for settledness, stability in meditation. One of them is trust, trust in the practice, trust in your capacity, trust in the path. But this is onward leading. I've known people who, through contentment and trust in the moment, just kind of wove their minds a little cocoon, almost by accident, and ended up in quite deep, stable samadhi. No big, complicated recipe of things to do or factors to analyze. Just trusting. Another beautiful contributing factor is ethics, ethical behavior, a appreciating your own goodness, having worked through any regrets or any past issues that remain, having cleaned up our act. It's called the bliss of blamelessness, and it's a huge support for samadhi and for practice in general. Another really supportive condition is what's called seclusion of the sense doors. And this is beginning to not take quite so much interest in the sensual pleasures of the seeing or the tasting or the hearing of the birds or whatnot, and turning within. Those things might still be arising in the senses, but there's something else gathering, something emerging from within, flowing, that feels so good, so coherent, so much in flow, that the mind naturally begins to turn inwards, the heart turns inwards to its own inner sanctum. This begins to build more stability. At a practical level, this can mean shielding the attention from things that you know will distract you. I personally, day five of a retreat, might not want to look at a newspaper. Maybe not. So to turn inwards. And then cultivating a sense of contentment, relaxation. This cannot be overstated as something helpful. The reaching out for there, then, or that is not the same kind of movement as the settling in, the settling back, dropping in of samadhi. Again, an invitation, not a demand. And so now I'll just talk about a few of the mental factors. Things you might notice if the stability of the mind is building, has been building, if it has for some of you. First, I call these like signposts or sometimes symptoms of samadhi. The first is that sense of immersion. It's a sense of almost effortless being here. It's almost dwelling in awareness as opposed to doing mindfulness. Some people experience this, Gil mentioned this the other day, as almost like being underwater, walking underwater, sitting underwater. There's a clarity in the visual field that can happen. And it's probably one of my very favorite words to translate samadhi as immersion for this reason. It really kind of evokes that sense, being immersed in the body, an embodied experience. Then there's that steadiness, that stability of mind. It's like there's not as much wavering going on, vacillating back and forth. The hindrances are less prominent, maybe even gone. The mind becomes malleable, pliant, easy to direct. And then there are the sort of factors, qualities that you may notice of connecting and sustaining. Connecting is like tapping. It's the attention repeatedly returning to the object that you're paying attention to, breath, sound, body sensation, whatever. And as stability starts to build, this becomes pretty effortless. It's almost like two magnets draw together. Or like all of the filings go in one direction from a magnet. And then there's the factor of sustaining, which I first heard described as like rubbing a bowl with a cloth, like polishing a bowl with a cloth. The attention is gentle, constantly in contact, kind of just gently rubbing on it. It's a gentler feeling, and it lasts longer. And then the two can come together. The tap of connection, connecting with the resonance of sustaining over time. And gradually, as samadhi builds, the space between the connections doesn't need to happen. The connections don't need to happen as often. And the sustaining lasts and lingers longer and longer. And sometimes we do the reconnecting. And sometimes it does us. Awareness just brightens all on its own. You may notice this without any effort of your own. There will be moments of mindfulness just reconnecting with the moment. Oh, aware, here I am. Here it is. And it just sustains itself for a while. The sustaining quality can vary depending on how settled the mind is. Sometimes it starts out by kind of a fascination, like little flits of thought maybe kind of circling around the object of attention, all related to it. And as it deepens, the thoughts drop away, and it's just a sustaining with whatever it is, breath, body, whatever. There's becoming this ease of staying with. When I first started doing that form of more samadhi-oriented practice, this image of all of these little streams, rivulets feeding into streams and streams feeding into rivers came into my mind as the mind stream all began to collect, unify around one area of flow. Whatever that area is. And then some of the other factors that we've talked about come into play as the samadhi builds. So they kind of weave together. That joy or rapture, even ecstasy Gil talked about yesterday, is a support for samadhi, unless it's too coarse, and then the attention flies off and gets preoccupied and thinks about it and gets overly fascinated with it and busy with it, and then it's not quite as deep. Right? And there's a more quiet happiness that can emerge that helps the mind and heart, the attention, want to be here. Wow, this is so nice, good, delicious. And then even that might feel like too much. And at that point, there's a unification in the moment, a collectedness, a coalescence, a gathering. Another word I love, intentness, an unwavering intentness. So one of the really helpful things to notice as the mind starts to collect is again this, the attitude that one is bringing to it. Because I'll give an example. On a long retreat some years back, I was hauling my suitcase up the steps to my room and I tweaked my back first day of retreat. So there was pain. It was unpleasant. And it can be easy to get concentrated on the pain with aversion so that it's really kind of an unpleasant feedback loop. But at a certain point, the mind finally let go of the aversion and just got interested in being with the sensations. Oh, it's just like this. And then a certain kind of collectedness began to build, and a compassion was there. And that compassion-infused collectedness became very strong and stable. And at that point, the pain didn't matter anymore. It was just the stable, collected, compassionate way of being. Very simple. No fireworks. But just presence with an open heart. So, enough of the analytical descriptions of how this might unfold. I'd like to offer a story that kind of gets to the spirit of this kind of samadhi. This is from the time of the Buddha. He tells this story in one of the ancient teachings. And at the time of his practice, this occurred, he was practicing austerities. So really depriving the body, really pushing his body. Not eating much, not sleeping much. And I'm putting it mildly when I'm saying not eating much, not sleeping much, but really just gung-ho. And it got to the point where he was emaciated and almost starving. And laying by the side of the road, people probably mistook him for dead. And along came a woman going out for the day to work in the fields, and she had her lunch or her meal with her. It was like rice gruel or rice milk or something like that, something simple. And she saw him. Sujata was her name. She saw him and she was moved by compassion. And sat by him, knelt carefully, cradled his head in her hand, and gently fed him. And he describes this as restoring him enough to be able to practice again. And restored in that way, he sat up and began to practice. And the way I think of it is, it wasn't just the food that restored him. It was the compassion, the kindness, the connection that nourished him. And so nourished, he sat, and as he was sitting, he had this memory of being a child, sitting under a rose apple tree at his father's farm estate. I don't remember how old he said he was. Let's say somewhere between 7 and 10, not very old. And he was watching his father's team of people work out in the fields harvesting and was just so content, so relaxed, that he slipped into the state of utter, simple peace. And this memory arose in him, and he realized, oh, this kind of pleasure is not to be feared. It's not to be pushed away. It's to be embraced. It's onward leading. So I say this story in part because both of these moments are important. The moment of kindness and nourishment, and the moment of memory, of simplicity, this simple pleasure of being fully present, not to be ignored, not to be feared. Both began to open him up to another way of being. Another way of being in the moment. So many of us are conditioned not to deserve pleasure or joy. The Buddha himself had to overcome some of this conditioning to allow it. Simple contentment that's onward leading. The steadiness, receptivity. And there's a peacefulness to it. You can probably hear it in my voice, feeling quite peaceful as I give this talk. Dhamma samadhi in the Pali, Dharma samadhi, is almost synonymous with another word, shamatha, or serenity, peacefulness. And often people who practice samadhi or samadhi emerges through them are known in India as shamatawalas, serenity carriers, peace carriers. So touching these places can give us a reference point, an access point to inner peace that can be carried with us. That possibility is there. Some people do experience it that way. Still point within, or maybe almost like, you know, hermit crabs carry around their house on their back everywhere they go. It's like you can carry around your peace wherever you go. Just sort of move receptively back into it. So samadhi can look all kinds of ways, experienced in all kinds of ways. It's a vast, vast territory. And I'm trying to give little glimmers of flavors here in different ways it can be experienced. It can be everything from a very simple, uninterrupted, steady presence that can feel quite ordinary, but just unwavering, to all kinds of fireworks, interesting states, wild ways of being or feeling or experiencing. And those fireworks can be fun. They can induce some faith, but they're not wisdom. They can be beautiful, nourishing. They're not insight, though, either, necessarily. So to differentiate, I have met deeply mature practitioners whose only form of samadhi was simple, rooted presence. Unwavering presence, combined with the other factors, the awakening factors we're talking about this week. To tune in, it doesn't have to look any certain way for you. It can be as individual as a fingerprint. And it often will manifest, reflect a person's own natural inclination. It's embodied. That's one thing that's common to all of them. It's embodied. It might be more visual, or more hearing, or more kinesthetic. It's often kinesthetic. Ripples through the body, peace through the body. I've known some practitioners who taste honey or nectar in their heart, not in their mouth, or in every cell of their body. Some people close their eyes and see bright, luminous white light suffusing everything. Or other colors. It's not always white, black, blue, green, others. There's just a myriad ways, and just a few others here. This imperturbable connection, a sense of being wrapped head to toe. Spaciousness. Stillness. Flowing energy. immersion. Or a very simple, settled, content steadiness. It's like the ballast in a boat. Steady. Allowing the storm or the water just to flow by, flow off the prow. I spoke earlier about the way that there's kind of in this wide range two sort of basic different kinds of samadhi. They're known as single-pointed or more sort of an open-flowing samadhi, and both are onward leading. The more open-flowing kind tends to be this very fluid, stable attention to phenomena, sight, sound, sensation, thought processes, whatever, just flowing through. Sometimes can mature to what I call wisdom samadhis, where insight can arise. The relationships between things in the moment. Dropping into emptiness. And then there's the more unification, single-pointed, it's called, awareness. And single-pointed is sort of nice, because you kind of think the single point of an unwavering flame. But the single point is more like a dot surrounded by a circle, a range. So it doesn't need to be. In fact, please encourage yourself not to be constricted. But the single point is now, this object, this unification, this moment. And the Buddha gives some classic similes for these. The first one is someone kneading water into bath soap powder, which is the way they used to make soap, apparently, back in ancient India. Where these days, many of us might be more familiar with kneading moisture into dough, into flour to make dough. No particle left out of the moisture, evenly distributed. That massaging, the rippling through of contentment, awareness, pleasure, goodness, through every cell, every part of the heart and mind. That's where that kind of rhythm we were talking about, if you picture the rhythm of kneading dough, like the connecting and sustaining to the dough, can happen. And then the next simile, that rhythm drops away, it's no longer needed. Because then a whole body, all of experience, is experiencing this contentment, goodness, emerging like a lake fed by an inner spring with no rain, no rivers coming in, but just that spring bubbling up from deep within you, deep within the body. Cool, clear. Collected. And then letting go of even the relatively coarse quality of that rippling joy of the spring. The next image is of lotus flowers submerged completely in a pond, no part untouched by the cool, clear water. From the tips of the petals all the way down to the roots, completely submerged, immersed. Lotuses of many colors, many different kinds, just like there are many different kinds of minds and hearts. Submerged. And then the last simile in the sequence is a person emerging perhaps from that cool, clear, perfect temperature water, wrapped from head to toe in a perfectly clean, luminously white towel. Every part of their body wrapped in that cocoon. Completely, completely covered. And that last image is the kind of stillness, serenity. Maybe not unlike the serenity of a perfectly refreshing bath in some ways. Clean. Content, nothing needs to be done, just resting here. So tuning into whatever of these images, descriptions, sounds connects with your body, your heart, your mind this day. The invitation is to be content, to let go into deeper and deeper levels of contentment. Being here, this now. That still point within, that unwavering flame of your own inner sanctum. In my own experience of exploring this territory, I personally have found it most useful, most onward leading, to accept moments of samadhi almost like a gift, with reverence, respect, receptivity. Those moments can be invited. They can't be demanded or called in ways that are quite so onward leading. It's as if the reverence, the receptivity itself, is part of the gift. It can be cultivated openly, caringly, gently, through letting go, through discernment, as conditions allow. And finally, to say that, like all of the awakening factors, samadhi is a helpful quality to support the practice towards a free mind, a free heart. It's not necessarily an end in of itself. So there's no need to get wrapped up around it or bent out of shape about it. But to invite, allow. Accept each moment in its own flowering, its own beautiful flower, and appreciate it. This is all to support a mind and heart ready, receptive, free from hindrances, elated, and confident. Let's sit for a few minutes. Thank you for your practice.